Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. A year ago, the MAP Furniture Bank ran out of mattresses. When the community learned about the shortage, folks from throughout Central Ohio responded, and very quickly. MAP Furniture Bank, the home furnishings of last resort for people starting over after all manner of catastrophe, is running out of resources or has run out of resources again. The economic downturn has reached its tentacles to this lowest common denominator for so many stressed out people, a bed, a table, a lamp. And joining us today to explain the problem is MAP President Jim Stein. Hi, Jim. Thanks
for
being here.
Good morning, Ann.
And also MAP Development Director Joanne Spath.
Good morning, Ann.
Thanks for being here. You're low on furniture. Can you describe how low and you know, in relative terms, maybe?
Yeah, and right now we could serve 25% more people than we're serving if we had the furniture to do so. And what I mean by that is we're having people call us and saying, can't you help me with furniture? And we're having to say, unfortunately, I can't right now because I just don't have the furniture to give you. So that's a huge number. And we've been short of furniture before, but as I'm sure other organizations are experiencing, this is really dramatic and it's more expensive. Extensive than we would have guessed. So we are doing everything we can to encourage more folks to consider donating furniture and to find institutions that can donate furniture because, again, we could give away 25% more than what we currently are if we just had the furniture.
You know, I was listening to a story on NPR the other day about a furniture store that was closing after 43 years in Manhattan. And I think it was Manhattan anyway, East Coast. And it made me think of this, that they're closing because people aren't buying new furniture. Right.
Correct.
Now.
That's correct.
And so that means they're not replacing.
That's correct. And that is clearly one of the challenges. I mean, we can see that effect. It means if they're not replacing, then there isn't anything to donate because they're still using it. I think the other thing that's happening is even short of buying new furniture, family units are saying, you know what, times are tough right now. Maybe we should keep that just a little bit longer just in case. Or maybe they find a relative or a friend that they can give it directly to. So that's helping, and we appreciate that in our community. But on the other hand, that just makes a change and a shift in the furniture that we're used to receiving because of the whole situation.
How much has the demand grown as well?
Absolutely, yes. We're seeing a widening gap, I guess, is a simple way to explain it. So the amount of time that the phone is ringing during the day of people saying, you know, I'm desperate. Can't you help me because I'm sleeping on the floor or my kids are sleeping on the floor and, you know, we need to fix that because we're going to be getting sick and so on. I mean, the calls just keep going up and up. And so it's not a catastrophe in the same sense that Hurricane Katrina was. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it really is. You know, if you're a family in the middle of this situation, and you're the one that's struggling with what am I going to do tonight or what am I going to do tomorrow, it's very real.
Let's talk about the sort of clients that go to MAP Furniture Bank. Sometimes it's kind of hard for folks to visualize why would you wind up with no furniture?
That's a really good question, and I think you're right. We do find that people don't totally understand or comprehend that. One of our primary sources of referrals are individuals and families that are previously homeless. And so we have organizations in our community that will help them find an apartment, find a place to stay. But at that point, if you're coming out of homelessness, you don't have anything to move in. You know, so you've got the place, but you're going to be sleeping on the floor. You're going to be sitting on the floor Indian style to eat your meals and so on. You still need the furniture. So we have active partnerships, relationships with the organizations that provide the housing. And as long as we have the furniture, we're happy to pass it out in those situations. Last year alone, I think we helped almost 800 families and individuals that had reported that they were previously homeless.
Just the homeless?
Just the homeless.
This
yes.
doesn't count people who maybe have been evicted?
Yes.
Or domestic violence?
Correct.
Or divorce or any number of reasons why
right.
you walk away from a house full of furniture.
Correct. So those are the other reasons, some of them. And I kind of put them into a group category because in all these cases, these are families that are struggling with income. You know, folks that are homeless aren't homeless by choice. They're homeless because they couldn't afford and they have no other alternative. And so what can happen is you have a household or a family that is potentially doing okay at some point, and they may be fairly close to the poverty line, but they're getting by. And now there's a major life circumstance change, so there's a divorce or there's a death in the family. And when you upset the apple cart for the income, things can go down the vortex. They can get sucked into the black hole fairly quickly. You know, I miss a couple months' rent or bills, and now I get evicted. And, you know, within just a few months, if there's no income stream or it's not the proper income stream, it just doesn't work. And so they're struggling.
And some folks will still wonder, well, why can't they just get their furniture and store it somewhere? But moving furniture is expensive.
It is.
Storage isn't.
And a lot of times, unfortunately, in an eviction situation, you don't get afforded the time. You know, you get a knock on the door or a paper on the door that says, you know, you need to move out. And in the case of homelessness, of course, you know, that never – you don't go through that point because if you're homeless, you can't afford even to pay for the storage. So we're busy, in effect, shifting resources within the community. We're taking from folks that have plenty that can afford to share with somebody else, and we're helping those folks that really are down on their luck and they just need to get that new start, and that's what we're trying to help.
You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on WOSU 820. The website for the MAP Furniture Bank is mapfurniturebank.org. Also, if you have a question, a comment, if you have an idea about where perhaps MAP Furniture Bank could find more furniture, if you have a question about how to donate or if you live close enough or what it involves, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Your referral agencies, you only work through referral agencies, right?
That's correct.
So one of your biggest ones is the Franklin County Children's Services.
That's correct. We ask for other agencies in the community to refer families to us that need help. So we're a partner with these agencies. They don't need to try and collect furniture or have some type of process within their organization to do that because that's what we do. And we offer the community the advantage of, because we're focusing entirely on that and we're doing it in enough volume that it ends up being very cost effective for the community to work with us in partnership. So there are between 40 and 50 organizations that refer to us on a regular basis. Franklin County Children's Services will likely refer over 700 families in the coming year. The new Impact Community Action Organization will refer probably 400, 450 families in the coming year. Salvation Army is a big partner, and on and on. So the other advantage of that relationship that we have is if you're a family that's struggling, you don't need three or four different case managers or three or four organizations that you're trying to keep appointments with and so on. You can work with Franklin County Children's Services as an example, and if you need furniture, FCCS will make sure that you get that help through us. And so that's a real plus for the families as well, and our number of years of experience is proving out that really works well in the community.
I remember when I wrote about this last year, the Franklin County Children's Services folks said that not having a bed for your child is not a deal breaker. But it's about making the house more of a home, and that
Absolutely.
Having a bed for your child is very important.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't mean they don't get them, but that's part of what they're trying to do, and it's part of their new mission.
Yes.
Is much more holistic, and we just don't want to slap the kids back in the house. We want to make sure they have a place to sleep or
Correct.
Something to sit on or a table to eat at.
Correct.
What about prioritizing the referrals? Is it a first-come, first-serve thing, or if you see somebody in greater need, or you know they have children, or maybe it's somebody who's older who needs a bed and can't sleep on the floor. I can't even imagine all the different variations on the theme, but how do you prioritize, Joanne? Or
Jim?
Jim?
I would say we try not to prioritize
okay.
because that's a no-win situation. You know, as you can imagine, every family that comes to us in their own right has a very urgent situation. You know, that's why they're coming to us. And so the distinguishing between one issue and another becomes a pretty fine line. So our agency partners help us determine that. They're evaluating the client situations. They're doing the home visits. They're having the conversations about how to make improvements. And so we count on their help to help us with that prioritizing. So by the time the phone's ringing in our office, we're scheduling appointments on a first-come, first-served basis. And that seems, again, to be working pretty well. The thing we're proud of that we work really hard at is if you're a family without furniture or your children are sleeping on the floor, whatever, having somebody tell you, well, there's an 8-week waiting list, that's not a good answer. And so we work really hard on saying, you know, our waiting time to get an appointment is going to be between a week to a week and a half. And it doesn't mean we can help everybody, but for those that we do help, you're going to get help within a week to a week and a half.
When you go in, if there's not all of what you need, particularly in this economy, there's not, can they come back?
At this point, we don't run our program that way, again, because there are so many folks that need. But I think I would also quickly say with that the other thing that we are committed to as an organization is we do our darndest to make sure that every family that comes does get the vast majority of what they need. We monitor and measure every day. So the clients that came today, did they get what they needed? And we work to keep that at about a 90 to 95% fill rate, as we call it. Sometimes that means that we can't help quite as many families, but as we study that issue in our community, we've decided we're better off to really help the folks that we do help instead of just give them a piece or two of furniture. So it means we're helping less people than we really want to right now, but we are significantly helping the ones that we are helping.
So that it has an impact on their lifestyle. Yes. And doesn't just chip away at it, but
yes,
makes it, and it affects everything about their
absolutely
life then.
Absolutely.
614-292-8513. Give us a call with a question, comment. Altiish, you're on the phone. I mean, you're on the air.
Hello?
Altiish, yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, I'm not Altiish. You know, I'm just calling for her that as an interpreter.
Okay.
This lady, you know, her husband, he brought her from Ethiopia about 10 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, for some reason, just he left her in an empty house, you know, and then nobody, the rent only this month, you know, after this month end, she will be thrown out from that house. And, you know, even myself, I cannot help her because I have a family, you know.
Right.
You guys, you know, if you have any alternative to help this lady, you know, do you have any solution for that?
Well, yeah, Jim, you know all the referral agencies. You have any ideas for them?
I think the first question I would ask is she connected with somebody now who is helping her with her housing and some of her other challenges? Does she have a case manager or any organization that she's connected with?
Yeah, she has. I took her last month to the welfare department to get her help.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
she got a food stamp. Mm-hmm. And she got about 350 cash, and she is going to SL class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the her problem right now, she don't have no house. You mm-hmm. know, after this month's end, you know, she don't have no place to go.
She probably has to stay in contact with her social worker, case manager, and make sure they know that so they can help her. But
I call them, mm-hmm. and I explain everything. But the only thing they can do, they will give a food stamp and some cash. That's it. You know, and he said to get a house. You know, we don't know where we have to go.
Right.
Yeah. It sounds like one of the challenges that is still ongoing is she may be unemployed. Is that right?
Yeah. She don't even speak English. She came from back home, Ethiopia, 9 months ago, you know?
Mm-hmm. One suggestion I would make is there is an organization here in Columbus called Community Refugee and Immigration Services. And I know one of the things that they focus on is the exact type of situation that you're talking about, where it is an individual or a family who has come from another struggling and oppressed country. And the purpose of the Refugee and Immigration Service is to help them with the English language, to help them find a job, to help them find a place to live, and so on. So I don't know what their workload is at that organization, but certainly that's one that comes to mind that I would encourage you to reach out to. The second thing I would offer is we have a wonderful organization here in our community called First Link. And the whole purpose of First Link is to help callers find the connections in the community that will help them get the right kind of help. So I would also certainly encourage you to call First Link.
I don't have that phone number right now, but we'll try to get it if you keep...
211.
It's 211. Okay? The number for First Link.
Do you think they will help with the house?
Well, you don't know until you try. You're going to have to call them first, okay?
Okay.
And see, yeah. And good luck, and thanks for interpreting. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. Angela, you're on the air.
Hello?
Angela, could you hold on for just a minute?
Sorry.
Okay. We have to take a break. Thanks to my producer. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
I'm Rebecca Roberts. There's political news this week, but none as big as the Palin-Oprah sit-down, proving Palin's point.
Don't need a title to make a difference.
Ken Rudin's keeping his, the political junkie joins us, and so does Neil Conan from Fort Myers, Florida. And he's bringing mystery writer Randy Wayne White. Next, Talk the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation begins at 2 o'clock right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Good morning. It's currently 51 degrees in downtown Columbus. Some sunshine today, more clouds later today, bringing a good chance of afternoon rain and a high of 58. Rain showers tonight and a low of 45.
Support for WOSU comes from the McCoy Center for the Arts, presenting the improvisational comedy stylings of Chicago City Limits Friday, November 20th at 7:30 at the McCoy Center for the Arts in New Albany. More at McCoyCenterForTheArts.com.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest today, Jim Stein. He's the president of the MAP Furniture Bank. They're running out of furniture. They need some help. And also MAP Furniture Bank's development director, Joanne Spoth. If you have questions about how the Furniture Bank operates, if you want to know how you can help, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Angela, now you're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, hi. My question was, what type of condition does the furniture need to be in? For example, I have a kitchen table in my basement that sits on a base, but I don't have the screws that screw it into the base. Would you still take that and refurbish it or collect supplies to fix it to hand out, or do I need to do that first?
Well, I guess I would say in general, we like the furniture to be in ready-to-use condition because we really don't have a lot of capability to put things together.
Okay.
However, I would also say in times like we're going through where we could use so much more furniture, we're stretching a little bit. If it's a simple matter of putting four screws in the base to attach the top, I think that's something that we certainly can handle. You know, if it means, gosh, this sofa needs to be totally recovered, no. That obviously wouldn't fit. So my strong suggestion to you and to other listeners would be if you think it's close or that maybe we could be interested, please call us and we'll listen to the situation. We'll ask you some questions. And if we have to say, gosh, we just can't make that work right now, then we will. But short of that, we're going to try and accept just as much furniture as we can because we know there's folks out there that would love to have it.
Okay. And I also have a bunk bed with no mattresses. Is that...
Yes, that will help.
Okay. All right. Great. That's all.
Thanks,
great.
Angela. Hey, Jim, why don't we give them the phone number right now?
Great idea. Our phone number here in Columbus is 614-272-9544. And when you dial that number, our computer will answer, and you want to push option 3. So, again, that's 614-272-9544, and then push option 3, and one of our staff people or volunteers will answer the phone and check out your furniture donation.
And Angela's question about the table is very timely because you have a special program right now that is connected to Thanksgiving. And Joanne, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. One of the projects that we recently started in response to the lowered number of furniture donations was to come up with a way to make it possible for families to get a table around the Thanksgiving time. And this was really launched from a program we've been doing for 5 years called Tables for Thanksgiving. But the project we're working on right now is that we do have a wonderful donation from Souder for Woodworking. And with those materials, we are creating tables for families. We have a great group of volunteers that have been coming in this week, next week, and the weeks beyond to help us assemble those tables, put them together, because we think that when you think about Thanksgiving and family, having a table for gathering is so very important.
So you're taking tables, donations,
yes,
from anybody you can get them from, but you're short on tables this year.
Correct.
More than ever. Okay.
Correct.
And you're taking tables and chairs?
Yes.
And what Sauter's done is, have they given you disassembled tables, or are they just giving you materials and you're creating?
They've given us raw materials,
okay,
the particle board and other wood products. And so we created a design and came up with a table form. So we actually are creating kits from those materials, and then the volunteers can assemble the kits when they're at the furniture bank.
How did the Tables for Thanksgiving program start?
That started 5 years ago, Ann, when we knew we were ready for a permanent facility in the community. We started a capital campaign to raise the funding to do that. And as part of the public announcement of our capital campaign and our invitation for people in the community to support that work with us, we conceived the original Tables for Thanksgiving project. And the idea was, as Joanne stated, we really need to make sure that families have a proper way to gather with their family at Thanksgiving time. There's a number of organizations in town and churches that will provide food, which is wonderful. But if you're sitting on the floor, don't have a proper place to gather, it's not the same somehow. So our focus was on making sure that as many families as we could provide tables and chairs for, that we would do that. And we reached out to the community and said, if you'll volunteer with us, that allows us to expand the scope of this project.
We're going to hear from Lisa Hamler-Fugate of the Second Harvest Food Bank in about 10 minutes, and she's going to tell us about how we can help with food at Thanksgiving as well. The need is extreme. What about competition, Jim, with other discount furniture provider, you know, other charity types that sell furniture? I guess I'm thinking of what's the one? Not Salvation Army, but Goodwill. Yeah.
I think we don't actually look at them as competitors.
Okay.
They're certainly collaborators with us in the community in terms of trying to solve the same need that we're trying to solve. Their mission is a little bit different, but certainly anybody who has furniture to donate, at the end of the day, they're doing the right thing. It's going to the families that need help. In our case, our specific focus is on folks that don't have that option to go to a thrift store or to buy the furniture in any fashion. The folks that we see struggle sometimes just with the gas to get to our facility. And so our whole mission is, you know, probably 80 to 85% of the people that come to get furniture from us for free are telling us that their household income is less than $10,000 a year. So clearly rent and food and clothing are very much on the top of the list. And if any of us were in that situation, we'd probably make the same decision that, hey, I can sleep on the floor, I'll sit on the floor, but I've got to have shelter, I've got to have food, I've got to have medical help, you know, so on and so forth. So that's the segment that we focus on. And we're really the primary organization in town that does that. There are churches. There are some other smaller organizations that also do that. And we're delighted that they're helping in the same way. But our situation is a little bit different because we can usually respond quicker and we can provide a broader array of furniture that people can get for their homes in a very short time period.
You're listening to Jim Stein. He's the president of MAP Furniture Bank. He's talking about the struggles they have this year, and they had just not unlike last year, with getting enough furniture for the people, the growing number of people that need furniture to fill their homes and to make their homes, make their houses a home. Jim, talk about the pickup and delivery. You pick
sure.
up. Can you tell about what your range is?
We do. One of the things we do, Ann, to try and make it just as feasible as possible for people to donate furniture is we provide free pickup. And we'll actually come inside your home if you wish and remove the furniture for you. So it's about as simple as it gets. You know, you call us within a week. We're going to come to your house and pick up the furniture. We'll come inside and get it if we need to. The one stipulation there that I should be clear about is if the furniture can be on the main floor of your home or in your garage or whatever, then the pickup is always free. You don't need to set it out the curb. In fact, for weather reasons, we prefer you don't set it out at the curb. Now, if you need us to go down into your lower level and get this heavy sleeper sofa or go up and get a big dresser out of the second floor, we're going to ask for a small donation to help cover our cost of the extra time that that will take. But still, we'll be happy to do it if you're willing to agree to that. So we are in some section of town every day of the week. So Monday through Friday, we'll make pickups. We can make special arrangements for Saturday if we need to. We're hoping to expand our service to include Saturdays and possibly early evenings in the future. But right now, Monday through Friday, we'll be coming to your neighborhood one of those 5 days to make a free pickup.
Now, I don't want to start a slippery slope here, but a lady called me last year after the column ran on it in the Columbus Dispatch and said, I live just outside the borderline that Matt Furniture Bank serves. I have a whole bunch of furniture to give, but they won't take it. I called you. You said, yeah, tell her to call us and we'll make an exception. But should people just call first and at least try to talk to somebody about it and not take no for an answer? Answer right away.
Absolutely. And I would say right now, Ann, we're stretching those boundaries a little bit just because if furniture is available and it's in the right condition for our families, we're doing everything we can to bring it in. So we're definitely stretching the boundaries. The other thing I would say is we're learning as we grow as an organization and we're learning to be a little bit more flexible with the furniture that we can mm-hmm. accept. That we will accept and the ways we do our free pickups and so on. So I know sometimes, one person might have a negative experience with that and they'll tell their friends. But I would say don't jump to conclusions. Think about the need of the families that we're trying to help. Give us the benefit of the doubt. Pick up the phone, make a quick call, and we'll do everything we can to pick up the furniture.
We have an email from Doug. He asks, does your organization ever drive around OSU's campus around move-out time? I live nearby, and the streets and alleys are full of furniture. Some of it is still in really good condition.
My response would be we don't actually drive around the neighborhood, but we are connected with the university itself, with campus partners, with several other organizations. We're trying to do a more targeted and directed effort around move-in and move-out time. So, again, any of the students, if they've got extra furniture, are welcome to call us, and we will work with their time schedule to get that furniture picked up. So the challenge with furniture that's setting out is we're never sure how long it's been there, and for the safety and the health of the families that we serve, we have resisted the urge to pick it up if we're really not sure about its condition. So weather obviously is a potential issue, but we are doing everything we can with the university to try and grow our program with them and to grow awareness on the campus, in the administration, so that we can improve that process. Because like the emailer, I hate to see furniture sitting out on the curb when it could have gone to a family.
Well, this is the ultimate recycling project.
Absolutely.
When it all comes down to it, if you throw your furniture out on the curb, it's not going to be good for anybody. You wait a week, you can give it away.
That's
correct. Get it picked up for free. Two questions. One about televisions. When I looked on your website, it looked as though you actually accept working televisions.
We do accept working televisions. The simple way to explain that is there's a list of about 10 items that are most in need of the families that we serve.
Why don't you tell us what those are?
So we focus on the bedroom, the living room, and the kitchen, those three rooms. In the bedroom, it's mattresses, bed frames, dressers. In the living room, it is sofas, chairs, lamps, tables. In the kitchen, it is the kitchen table and chairs. So the way we structure our free pickup is if you have at least one of those items, I'll be happy to come to your house, and I'll take just a lot of other things while I'm still there. So TVs, microwaves, bookcases, entertainment centers, and so on. Unfortunately, for cost reasons, I can't necessarily commit that I'll come to your house just for a TV, because even though a family would love to have that, it doesn't really solve the problem by itself that we're trying to solve. But if you can, either from your own household or with a neighbor, you can say, but we've got a couch, I'll say, great, then I'll take just about everything else that I know my family will take from me. when you're there because it makes it worth my while to come.
But you don't take things like pots and pans and
We towels. Will also oh, take pots and pans.
Okay.
We will.
All right.
Yes.
I guess you need to go to the website because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well,
so.
every now and then we'll get a question about, hey, do you want my exercise equipment? You know, I've got an old Christmas tree. Those are the things that we're not as interested in. But if it has to do with setting up and outfitting your house to create a livable situation for you, we take as many things as we can.
We have, I think it was a phone call from Ralph, but we left a message. How does MAP deal with the bed bug problem? Do they screen the furniture to make sure it is bug-free? And I know you do have a program for that.
We do. We'll ask you a number of questions when you call that are specifically intended to make sure that we're not accepting furniture that, if we give it to a family, is going to create a problem for them. We're very strong on that. We have a strong commitment to making sure not only bed bugs, but any other insect infestations, pet hair, communicable diseases, and so on. So we're going to ask you questions when we accept your donation to make sure that it's fit to go to our families. Beyond that, we've done a lot of training with our staff. With the help of OSU and their Department of Entomology, which means bugs. And we also have our facility inspected, and we have our trucks inspected on a weekly basis to make sure that we don't have a growing problem. I think a lot of folks in our community assume that, gosh, if this is used furniture and somebody has a bed bug problem, that must be where it came from. Our learning on this issue suggests that that's not necessarily true, and several things we've noticed. One is our workers hug furniture all day long. You know, that's mattresses and it's sofas and so on. And we have yet in a number of years to have any employee who's ever had a problem with bites, with an issue with furniture. So that gives us a sense of confidence that the items that we're picking up don't have a problem. Bed bugs can lay dormant. And they can reappear at a later period of time. And out of 300 families that we serve every month, we get one or two calls of, hey, I've got a bed bug problem. We'll go out immediately within a couple hours and inspect the situation. We've done mattress autopsies. We're really working hard to make sure that we're not spreading that problem in the community. And I can say pretty proudly and confidently that I think we're being effective at this point.
Okay, we're going to take another break, and then when we return, we'll be talking to Lisa Hamler-Fugit of the Second Harvest Food Bank. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is Capital City Radio.
Welcome to Sound Opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Cobb. This week, Jim.
And this is Capital City Radio.
I would rather go blind, boy.
Capital City Radio is the center of music and news. The new service from WOSU. Online at capitalcityradio.org.
Good morning. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. At 11 o'clock, hour two of All Sides will be here, and we'll hear about the new urbanism and the urbanization of the suburbs and how mass transit connects communities in the 21st century. That discussion begins at 11 o'clock. 51 degrees in downtown Columbus, mostly cloudy skies today, and a good chance of rain and a high of 58. Rain showers are likely tonight, a low of 45. Cloudy on Thursday with a chance of rain and a high of 55. The low Thursday night, right around 40 degrees.
Support for WOSU comes from the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium's lecture series presenting Charles Darwin, The Concise Story of an Extraordinary Man, featuring OSU professor Dr. Tim Barra, December 3rd at the Fawcett Center. More at columbuszoo.org.
And remember, you can listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher whenever you want with the online archive. Podcast new and archived shows from all the guests and topics. Podcast All Sides at WOSU.org. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Give us a call. We're talking about the MAP Furniture Bank, its program at Thanksgiving to get tables and chairs to people so they can sit around the table and have their Thanksgiving meal. And also on the air with us now is Lisa Hamler-Fugit. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Lisa is the executive director of the Ohio Association of Second Harvest Food Banks. And we wanted to kind of do a little bit more of a holistic show here and talk about what can we get on people's table on Thanksgiving Day for them.
Well, I want to thank you, Ann, for inviting us on today, and I want to applaud the work of MAP. They do just an outstanding job helping
Thanks.
Families who lack basic needs. And certainly as they're striving to provide more tables and chairs for families, we want to make sure that those families also have food on those tables. The demand on food banks, food pantries, and soup kitchens, not only in Central Ohio but across the state, are continuing to grow at rates that we've never experienced before in the history of food banking in the U.S. As the demand climbs, donations, unfortunately, are declining. And as more and more individuals are turning, many for the first time in their lives, to try to secure food, what we're finding is that many of our agencies, unfortunately, are having to lighten the bags or the boxes in trying to stretch in order to get food to everybody that's turning to them. Unfortunately, as the lines are growing longer each day, our shelves are emptying more quickly, and the gap is certainly widening between the haves and the have-nots.
You know, a Thanksgiving meal is typically, well, relatively a healthy meal. So a lot of the stuff that you're looking for that is the stuff you're looking for every day of the week.
Absolutely. Hunger exists 365 days a year, but there is a heightened awareness certainly around what we call the hunger holidays, the time between Christmas and Thanksgiving and Christmas. And what our agencies are doing really are struggling every day to provide basic food stores, healthy foods, again, for more individuals, fresh fruits and vegetables, protein items. And we've got a wonderful network here in the state where we're working with Ohio farmers, growers, and commodity producers, and attempting to clear their agricultural surpluses. In fact, in just the past 4 months, over 30% of all the food that was distributed statewide came from Ohio farmers, growers, and commodity producers.
That's a relatively recent change, isn't it?
We've been partnering. It's a public-private partnership with the state of Ohio, where the Ohio General Assembly provides funding, and it links not only the General Assembly but also food banks with Ohio farmers and growers, where we're providing literally pennies on the pound for the farmers to go in and harvest what would have been left either in the orchards or in the fields, and to get that food, what we call cosmetically challenged fruits and vegetables.
I grow them all the time.
To more and more hungry Ohioans. We, as a matter of fact, this week we have a very generous donation coming from the Ohio Farm Bureau, an overproduction situation in the northern part of the state. They're going to be harvesting and delivering over 200,000 pounds of carrots that would have been left to rot in the field that are going to be distributed through our food banks, food pantries, and soup kitchens.
That's fantastic. You know, you mentioned that for a lot of people, it's the first time they've had to go to a food bank, and probably it's the same thing, Jim, for a lot of folks with you, the folks at MAP Furniture Bank. It's the first time they've had to go and ask for things like this. Lisa, can you help us walk through what happens when you need to go to a food bank? What's the experience?
Many of our agencies are now what we call choice food pantries, where people can go in and, based on their household size, can shop to pick foods that are nutritionally and culturally appropriate for themselves and their families. It starts by getting a referral most often. Locally, you can call First Link, the call for food line, or
211,
mm-hmm. Absolutely, and they will refer you to a pantry within your neighborhood. You'll need identification for yourself and each member of the household that you're requesting food for. And what we do want to say is please be patient. The lines are often busy. Oftentimes people are waiting up to 48 hours for a referral to the local food pantry. We ask for patience. If you are suffering right now from hunger, there are a number of soup kitchens that are available that provide prepared meals, and we can get you directly to a soup kitchen in your area as well.
If they call First Link, can they help them with that?
Yes.
Okay. What do you do this time of year? I was reading the story by Kathy Kandisky in the Columbus Dispatch, and she said in it, it mentioned that President Obama called the report that came out recently from the United States Department of Agriculture unsettling.
It is very unsettling. In fact, the report was released on Monday. It is measuring food insecurity in the United States in 2008, and the numbers are just it's a little hard for me to believe that what we're seeing now are such significant increases in not only food insecurity but very low food insecurity, which is a definition that the government uses, which is just hunger. 5.2% of Ohio households now suffer from very low food security, which means that there are episodes, chronic episodes, of someone in that household going without meals. It's particularly pronounced among households raising minor children. In fact, one in three single mothers reported that they struggled with food, and that more than one in seven said that someone in their home had been hungry, meaning that they are skipping meals, they are providing meals to the children, the adults are going without, and this can be episodes literally of days. It is the first report that has been produced during the tenure of President Obama, and he has pledged the commitment of the White House on a very ambitious goal, which is to eliminate childhood hunger by 2015. And we have never had a president in the history of the U.S. that has made such an ambitious goal. And what we need to do is strengthen our federal safety net programs, including the food stamp program, the child and adult care food program, the summer feeding program, and our school meal-based programs, as well as our senior programs.
When you look at the numbers, 14.6%, you know, we're all into percentages these days, and that doesn't sound so bad. But when you look at the raw number, 17 million households fall into this category.
Correct. We have never seen, I mean, you know, I call this an epidemic. When we're seeing these kinds of numbers of hunger increasing at rates like this, this is an epidemic. And it calls for not only federal attention, but also the state's attention. And at a time when we're seeing the state budget for basic safety net programs being cut, that we've got to redouble our commitment and say enough is enough. In Ohio and in America, no one should go hungry.
Lisa, if someone wants to help, where should they call? Where should they go?
They can call us. They can call the Ohio Association of Second Harvest Food Banks at 614-221-4336. Again, that's 614-221-4336.
Okay. Is there a website?
Yes. www.oashf.org, the Ohio Association of Second Harvest Food Banks.
Okay. Lisa Hamler-Fugit, Executive Director of the Ohio Association of Second Harvest Food Banks. Thank you so much for joining us on such short notice today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ann, for all that you do, and we thank your listeners. Columbus is really generous, and we're asking people, if they haven't thought about their neighbor or made a contribution, now's the time to do so.
Okay. Take care, Lisa.
Thank you.
Jim, we talked about how the process works in a food bank. Can you, Jim Stein of the MAP Furniture Bank, tell us how it works at the Furniture Bank?
The process is really very similar, Ann. We encourage folks to connect either with FirstLink to find a resource that can refer them to get furniture at our furniture bank, or they may already be connected with an agency and a case manager. And so that's the person that you need to ask about getting a referral. So we don't take walk-ins or we don't serve families directly. We serve them by referral from a social service agency.
I have an email from a listener. They want to know if MAP only takes mattresses, if it has the box spring and the mattress, or will they accept a mattress only?
We will accept mattresses only. In fact, what we see in many cases is that is quite satisfactory to the family. Certainly, it's an ideal situation if you have the box springs and the mattress. But the mattress gets you up off the floor. It provides that cushioning so that you can get a good night's rest.
If you need more information from MAP Furniture Bank, the website is mapfurniturebank.org. The phone number, 614-272-9544. And that information will be on the website today, as well as the information about the Second Harvest Food Banks. So when you get there, you've made your appointment, you're scheduled, you're in the waiting room. I know you don't book them too heavy, so you don't have a lot of people sitting in the waiting room at the same time.
That's correct. The way our process works is once you have your appointment and you come to the furniture bank to get your furniture, when it's your turn, you're selecting furniture as the only person that we're working with at that point. So you've got our full attention. We're there to help you. There isn't somebody else trying to select the same furniture that you're trying to select. It's one family at a time. And I think the other key point there is the families get to choose their own furniture. We don't tell them this is what you have to take, and we believe that that is the right respect and dignity for the family. But the other practical reason there is we don't fully understand how many people in your household. We don't know how big your apartment or your house is, what will fit, what won't fit. And so it's really important that the family get to choose the furniture that makes most sense for them. Their apartment may be totally empty. They may have some furniture but not other furniture. So all those things just point to the fact that the client choosing is by far the best answer. So we'll have our employees and sometimes even volunteers guide that process and listen and try and help them pick out the things that seem to fit based on what they're saying. But at the end of the day, it's their choice and it's their selection.
So they'll help give them advice about, well, if you really don't have anything, this is probably our advice and what you want to get started
Correct.
With. I know that buffet looks nice, but...
Yes,
you probably,
correct.
You know, because sometimes there's something pretty and they want
sure.
it, but it's
well, and
not
practical. They may see a sofa, but they can tell by looking at it it's just a little bit too big. It's a wonderful sofa. Somebody would love to have it, but it's a little bit too big for my house. And in that case, Paul will likely recommend, well, consider two stuffed chairs. You know, it also provides seating capacity, and it may fit a little bit better. So we've been through this a lot of times. Over the last 6-7 years, we've probably served 20,000 families. And so we've been through this enough that we can give good coaching advice so that they really go to get a good answer. The other exciting thing about the process is as the family is selecting their furniture, we're loading it right on the truck, and it will be delivered to their home within 3 to 4 hours if they're having us do the delivery. Some folks will bring their own truck or their own mode of transporting the furniture back to their house, but probably 80% of everybody that we serve asks us to do the delivery for us, and it's a very simple, quick process. You pick out the furniture, we put it on the truck. As soon as the truck's full, we bring it to your house.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have a few more minutes if you have some questions for Jim Stein. He's the president of the MAP Furniture Bank, or Joanne Spoth. She is their development director at MAP Furniture Bank. Joanne, let's talk about fundraising because hard cold cash helps too, doesn't it?
Well, yes, of course. The Furniture Bank certainly has many wonderful donors who, as individuals, are supporting the work that we're doing at the Furniture Bank, and we are always happy to have them make a donation. They can do it online through our website, through a secure website, and also, if they want, they can certainly send a check to MAP Furniture Bank as well. We have a wonderful number of corporate supporters here throughout the community. The foundations, too, have been tremendously important in helping the Furniture Bank as well.
And you're a beneficiary of United Way?
No,
not
the Furniture
year?
Bank is not.
Okay, all right. When you have other kinds of fundraisers, like you have the neat chair fundraiser, I can't remember, what's that called?
It's called Red Chair Art Affair. That happens in September or October every fall, and it's a way for us to gather folks to enjoy an evening and support our organization and have a little fun with taking a piece of furniture and doing something very creative with it. They are silent and live auctioned at that event, and we've held it in the past at the Columbus Museum of Art. So it's really a very festive evening and a chance for people to experience what we do and to support our organization. I think it's worth pointing out, Anne, that at this point in the work that we do, we can provide a family with 12 to 14 pieces of furniture, which is typically the average, for about $225. So that may be up beyond some folks' budget, but if it is within your budget, you should smile and say, gosh, this $225 will give a family 12 to 14 pieces of furniture. If even a smaller amount makes sense for you, even $10, $20, please know that typically what happens is it helps us pick up somebody's donation, and the vast majority of the donations that we pick up are in somebody else's house, making a difference in about 2 to 3 days.
What's your volunteer force like?
Our volunteer force is actually growing pretty rapidly right now. Unfortunately, I think that's probably a sign of the economic times and the unemployment rate. But we're doing everything we can to respond to that, because it's a very unique opportunity to connect folks that themselves are struggling, but at the same time, they get to do something worthwhile for somebody else that's struggling. So we've got just a growing number of people coming in to help us assemble kitchen tables through our Thanksgiving Tables for Thanksgiving project. We've got folks actually helping us make the deliveries to those people's homes. And so it's a neighbor-to-neighbor connection. You know, I get to go home thankful for my blessings, because I've just experienced somebody who doesn't have the same blessings. And it makes it more real for me how thankful I should be.
I met somebody who works there. I remember that had been a beneficiary of the MAP Furniture Bank, and he's one of the fellows that helps people pick up furniture. I can't remember his name right now, but
actually, we have several examples of that, which is terrific. That's one of the things that makes us smile on a daily basis is certainly some of the clients that we have served in the past will come back and say, you know, that helped me so much to make a difference in my life that I want to volunteer somehow. And so they may start out volunteering, and first thing you know, we've got an opening in our staff. And so we've got several examples of people who were down on their luck at one point. We were able to help them, and now they're part of helping others.
You need beds.
Yes.
You need mattresses and
yes.
box springs.
Yes.
You need tables and chairs.
Yes.
What else can people look around their neighborhood and think about collecting for MAP Furniture Bank?
I think the easiest way to think about that is think about the three rooms, which are the bedroom, the living room, and the kitchen. You know, some houses have more rooms than that, but those are the three essentials if you're going to set up an apartment or a household. So items for the bedroom, for the living room, for the kitchen, if you have those types of items, we're definitely interested. There are definitely an abundance of families that need those items, and we're struggling every day right now to try and collect as many of those items as we can. And so I'll go through the whole list again just quickly. So in the bedroom, it is mattresses, bed springs, bed frames, and dressers. In the living room, it is sofas, chairs, tables, lamps. In the kitchen, it's the kitchen table and chairs. And, of course, then a whole variety of other things that people would also like to have while we're at your house.
Have people done neighborhood drives?
They have. We love to do those, especially in the warmer months of the year, and it really extends the work that we can do if there's a group of volunteers or a community organization that does a furniture drive. We'll provide the trucks, we'll provide the flyers and the know-how to do that. So if you've got a group of 6, 8, 10 folks that would like to do a furniture drive at your church, at your school, at your Rotary Club, whatever, it makes a great activity and it helps so much.
Well, we're running out of time. I hope I can get these two calls on, but if we can't, I'm sorry. If you need more information about MAP Furniture Bank, go to mapfurniturebank.org or call them at 614-272-9544. That's 614-272-9544. Thanks to Jim Stein and Joanne Spoth of the MAP Furniture Bank for being with us today.
Thank you very much. It was great
to
be here.
It's a pleasure.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 MPR News.